Blog Talk Radio.
Yesterday, I got caught up in this word and let the time get away from me. I pray everybody had a blessed evening. Got to go do something you wanted to do. Amen. Amen. Still on How Are the Children. We're going to finish this up today. And I pray that we are able to put something together and then add to it as we go along. For the different subject areas, you know, that our children are suffering with today that, you know, I don't think society is actually addressing it. You know, just on the moral value, it seems like the church is going along with the world as far as the morals go. And so, you know, we for us to come back to the Most High and to raise a generation that is not of this world, doesn't have the standards of this world. You know, they have to be in the world, but not of it.
Of the world.
And not of the world. And right now, they are in the world and of the world, being raised by the standards of the world. So, you know, on last week, we read where we read where the Most High wanted us to be converted and come to Him as little children. And unless we convert and come to Him as little children, you know, needing, depending upon Him totally in all that we do, then He says we cannot enter into His kingdom. So let us pray. Let us do our statement of faith and pray in, and then we'll jump into the rest of it. Okay, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13.
Amen.
Let's have you ladies to cover your head. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Let us turn toward the east. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let us go to... let's see here. Let us go to Matthew's chapter 19, verse 14. The book of Matthew's chapter 19 and verse 14. But Yeshua said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. May the Most High have a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of His word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. When we're dealing with our children and understanding that we have to have that same mentality, and as I said before, we need to be able to transmit the same information, the same mentality to the young people and to the children. And we have to understand as people, how we have to come to the Most High as a child, how we have to depend upon Him for everything, our security, our growth, our standard. The only way that you can translate that to the children is we have to ourselves be doing it. And so it's a must that we understand that we have to have to come to them with the mind of a child. We have to be innocent, childlike. And we know we've been through some things. But when it comes to transmitting this mentality, this frame of mind to the children, then, you know, we have to become childlike. We have to, you know, truly depend on our Father, Heavenly Father, like a child. Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do? What would you have me to say? Is this okay for me to wear? You know, people don't really talk to the Most High. I've not heard too many people say they have conversations like that with them. I've heard one or two people say that. But what would you have me to wear today? Is this okay? Can I eat this? Maybe we're not hearing from them. Maybe, you know, it's not as real. I don't know. But I know we have to have this mentality. I know when I wake up, I'm always asking myself, what is it you would have me to do? What is it you would have me to say? I don't really want to come of my own accord. That's why a lot of times, especially here lately, I have a lot of lessons. I have over probably 200 or 300 lessons, but I don't want to just teach something just to be teaching it. I want it, you know, to be what the Most High wants us to hear at this time and in this place. So I always ask him. And a lot of times I don't get the answer until maybe an hour before it's time to air, or 2 hours. So I don't really have that really prepared. So we want to become dependent upon him. What should we do? What should we say? In Mark chapter 10, the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 15. It says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of Elohim as a little child, he shall not enter therein. We have that repeated in the gospel. And so, you know, it's a must, because he's talking about grown people now. It's a must that we become childlike with him. When we raise our hands, one of the things that I found out in the scriptures, when we raise our hands in prayer, that also emulates a child raising its hands to its parent. Pick me up. You ever have your child or your grandchild, you're walking by and they want to cry, they want attention, they just raise their hands up to let you know they want you to pick them up. The same thing when you raise your hands in prayer. We are emulating a child in that. The things that we ask for, a child most of the time can't really do for themselves. So in everything that we do, you know, our shelter, our food, our clothing, our daily necessities, say, hey, don't worry about those things. I will make sure that you have. But then I guess it's going to depend upon maturity and what age, you know, and how mature we are coming to the Most High. Are we a 5-year-old? Are we a 6-year-old? It's hard to go back and pick up and conceive of that mentality, especially if you're 40, 50, or 60 years old, 70 years old. How do I really approach the High as a child at this age? And it really is talking about dependency. Understanding that no matter how old we get, we're never going to be as old as eternity. And so we were always, you know, be looked at from the Most High standpoint as childlike. We're not spiritually grown, and we need to be trained up. No matter how old we get, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years on this earth is really nothing when compared to, what, eternity. How much do you think you could learn if you had unlimited time? How perfect do you think you could become if you had unlimited time? So this is what the Most High is looking at us and saying, you're still a neophyte. You're still an infant in regards to time, in regards to how we relate to him. Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. He was saying that to his disciples concerning the children that were around him. But this also equates to his heavenly kingdom and the angels, because they are the servants in the heavenly kingdom. And so it's also like an instruction to them. Suffer not the little children, us. Come to the Most High. Let's go to talk about the New Jerusalem. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. The book of Isaiah, chapter 54. I'm going to start in verse 1. This is about the New Jerusalem, and you have all kind of people that it seems that they don't really understand this relationship. The Most High desires that in his kingdom, that Jerusalem and the citizens of Jerusalem and Israel, but really he wants a holy kingdom, period, but his priesthood and New Jerusalem to be extreme or be the epitome of holiness. And the Jerusalem on the earth right now represents Hagar, the bondswoman, and all of her children are really born in bondage. They come out of that, you know, if you are a handmaiden, a slave, then your children, even born to you, are born into bondage. Even if you were to sleep with a free man, the children are still in bondage. So the scriptures equate the Jerusalem on the earth to Hagar. And the Jerusalem in the heaven, the one that's coming to the earth. But when we read this, because I've heard a lot of people quote this verse about no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He wasn't talking to us any kind of way when that verse was being stated. He was talking about Jerusalem. So let's read this. Isaiah chapter 54, starting in verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith Yah. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Fear not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy state, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy maker is thine husband, Yah of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. the Elohim of the whole earth shall he be, the Elohim of the whole earth shall he be called. For Yah has called thee as a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith Elohim. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith Yah, thy Redeemer. Now, people always equate this to, and it is to the people as well, to the Israelite people, okay? But he's really talking about Jerusalem, the city, and the citizens of that city, the citizens of the kingdom. Okay, because the Most High has wanted this holy seed from the very beginning. So he's talking about how he's going to redeem Jerusalem. And we got to understand that a lot of the scripture is about the land. So let's talk about this for a minute. We, you know, this goes to relationship. The Most High talks about the land of Israel and the New Jerusalem and it being corrupted, okay? And when he formed us as a people and he was bringing us into the promised land, he wanted us as a people to go in and clean up Israel, his land, and Jerusalem. To clean it up because it had been corrupted by the people who were the Moabites, Canaanites. It had been corrupted. And Joshua, his job going in, the Most High said, you know, everything that you see that is considered to be the worship of another deity, everything that is associated with it, I want you to tear it down and bring it out and burn it. Now, this is what Israel was supposed to do, the nation, the people, the citizenship, the Most High was taking into in there. And he has always considered the land to be corrupted, and we were supposed to clean it up. But then we became corrupt, our forefathers. So when we read the scriptures, we got to understand a lot of the time that not only does the Most High want us to be holy, he wants the land to be holy. He wants the city to be holy. And he speaks to the land and to the city. So right now he's speaking about Jerusalem itself. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Now, this is speaking toward the citizens of that land, his people. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee, saith Yah, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. Remember, the Most High destroyed everything that was wicked and saved only 8 souls, plus the animals in the flood. So he says, this is as the waters of Noah unto me. Well, I destroyed everything and saved only a few. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, I'm not going to destroy the earth by water anymore. So have I sworn that I would not be wroth or angry with you, nor rebuke you. So it's coming a time where he's saying, hey, I have sworn that I will not be angry with you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith Yah that has mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair color. Now we don't have stones. So now he's referring also to the city. And lay thy foundations with sapphire. And I will make thy windows of agate and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stone. And all thy children, that would be the saints, shall be taught of Yah, and great shall be the peace of thy children, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Israel, all those that belong to the Most High. Because there's coming a time when, you know, I was angry and I actually abandoned Jerusalem because of the corruption and the sin that was coming out of it, what our forefathers did, because they wouldn't go in and clean it up, but they perpetuated it and taught the nations to be wicked. So he forsook Jerusalem. He forsook the promised land. He said, I won't always be mad with you, and there's going to come a time when I will not be mad with you. I will have mercy on you, and I will redeem you. And the thing that I purpose for you is that you would have citizens that were taught by me. And he calls us, and he referenced us as being children, the children of Jerusalem. And hold on a second. Let me get another scripture here. Give me a hot second. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, the book of Galatians chapter 4. Now, we were reading this from Isaiah. We're going to read the same thing from Galatians. And understand that this is the mentality that we are the children of the kingdom. And so if we don't convert, because if you don't convert and become as little children, we got to understand who he considers to be our mother. Now, some people have made the New Jerusalem the Holy Spirit. And I've heard, you know, I had a couple of students when I was teaching before I went to Amazon that were of this faith and this belief that, you know, Jerusalem up above is an actual female spirit because of some verses we're about to read. Okay, and so they have her being the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all. This is speaking concerning us as children and having to grow up, and who is over us. So the closest that I can equate this to is when we were in slavery, or right after we came out of slavery, and a lot of our women were going to people's houses and serving in their houses as maids and butlers, nannies, milkmaids, because, you know, that one I still find hard to believe that, you know, if they would use our women to actually nurse their children. That one is still hard for me to get over. But what this scripture is really talking about, we as the children of the Most High, while we are in childlike state, the servants tell us what to do. So when we were helping our captor's children, there was a time that we were raising them. And while we were raising them, we had to stay over them. But when they grow up, then the child has authority over the servant. Okay? So even though we were helping to raise their children, and in some cases nursing them and keeping them out of trouble, when they got to a certain age, then it became your master. It became tell you what to do rather than vice versa. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from the servant. The servant is following orders and the child is following orders. Though he be Lord over all, the child, not the servant. but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, Elohim sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, Elohim sent forth the Spirit of his Son unto your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So we are supposed to be calling on the Most High as our Father. That's not a hard concept for most of us to do. I think it is the actual dependence upon the Most High, the real dependence upon him. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. So the child is taking orders, the servant is taking orders. The servant really, the child is really up under the servant while they are a child. But when they grow up, then they take ownership. In this case, the Most High is saying, we went from the position, just like the servant of, or of a servant, to the position of a child, one of his children, a son. Now, found on that even further, the servant in the house, even though sometimes they might be considered like family, they're not really family, and they don't really even take part in the inheritance. They are part of the inheritance. Okay, especially if it's up under the system of, you know, master-slave, bond handmaiden, bondmate, or hand servant. So if you go back and you read the law concerning those things, under that system, if you were a servant in the house, if you were property, you were passed down. You were inherited. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of Elohim through Christ. So I'm, the Most High says, I am elevating you from the position of a servant to the position of one of my children. And because you are a child, as a servant, more than likely you would not have an inheritance. You wouldn't be part of the inheritance. But as a child, you become an heir to the inheritance. So he's changing our status through Mashiach. And we can never forget that, what the work that he has done. Howbeit then, when you knew not Elohim, you did not serve, you did service unto them, which by nature are no Elohim. When you knew not Elohim, you did service unto them, which were not by nature no Elohim. We were serving things that just weren't, just wasn't a God. This wasn't an Elohim. Whether it was our flesh. We get the picture there. But now, after that you have known Elohim, or rather are known of Elohim, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage, to your sin, to your lust, to the ways of the flesh? Because if you're going to be my children, then you have to overcome this flesh. You can't go back to the beggarly element, the, you know, the nature of the flesh. The flesh lusts after, it gets hungry, it gets thirsty, it has desires in its prime, but desires to procreate, to have, you know, affection in such a way that physical contact, that kind of stuff, where we are lusting after the things of the world. You know, what kind of house can we get? What kind of car can we get? Status. So we can sum it up, the beggarly elements, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So now that we know Elohim and are known of him and his nature, how turn we again to the weak and beggarly elements? Those things that put us in bondage. So we have to know, as his children, even as his children, we have to understand what that means, that, hey, You have the nature of the Most High Elohim. You cannot keep the nature of, quote unquote, a man, a flesh and blood man. We'll be working against that. Because those are the things, this flesh, and the things that this flesh desires, and the world, and the things that the world desires, they are not of the Father. They are of the world. So when he changes us from servant to child, then you got to learn what it means to be a child of the Most High. What does that mean? What does it mean to be holy or to be perfect or to walk in righteousness? How do you make that a part of you? Because before you were a servant, you had no part in the inheritance. You were not an heir. But then you were begotten, and he changed you. And so now, as a child of the Most High, then you should be asking him, how do I be your child? How do I get your nature? How do I become like you? Because I'm changing your status. You observe days and months and times and years, and I'm afraid of you. Lest I have bestowed upon you labor in my labor, or bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how thoroughly, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at first. Hold on a second. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of Elohim, even as Christ Jesus. Now, Paul never really tells us what this temptation was in his flesh. And I believe he doesn't tell us directly. I believe he tells us through his admonition of himself that he was a blasphemer, that he desired really his problem was the pride of life. You know, I am a Pharisee of Pharisees, and to be wanted to be something large in life, personally. That's the only thing I can see through his writings that where he may have temptation, because that's what he was before. You know, he came to Messiah. I sat up under Gamaliel. The Pharisee of Pharisees, and I'm a lawyer of lawyers. He knew the law. And so knowing the law, Messiah still hadn't been revealed to him. So he persecuted the church of the Most High because he thought it would make him be something. I'm going to get rid of these heretics. And when Messiah met him on the road to Damascus, and blinded him. He had, you know, that's an extreme action. You know, you are zealous, Paul. And you're zealous to do the work, but you are kicking against the pricks. That means that you're going against, if you know what pricks are, like in a cactus, you don't want to kick into a cactus. In the way that the needles and the thorns are coming out, you're going to get wet, hurt real bad. Messiah saying, hey, you're kicking against the prick. You are going against the grain. You think you're doing the right thing, but you're not. So let me introduce myself to you. It is I, Yeshua, whom you are persecuting. So he needed that type of conversion because he was that zealous. But then also in his, you know, it was had to do with a pride thing. Of who he was, who he had sat up under, where he was on the Sanhedrin. So I believe that this was a real big issue with Paul, even after he had been converted. it was still an issue, and it was a thorn in his side. It was always, you know, I could do this or I could do that, or I should take this, but I should take that, but I won't take nothing from it. Am I not like the other apostles? I mean, it was always that sort of thing with Paul. So that was, as I can see, probably the temptation that was in him. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? Well, I bear you record that it had been, if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now he's talking to these, you know, to the Galatians and saying, hey, you saw me in my temptation and you didn't condemn me. You saw me and you accepted me. And if it were possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and gave them to me. Now, whether Paul, now maybe he had an infirmity in his eyesight as well. Can't really say because he's talking around the matter. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yeah, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it's good to be zealous, affected always, in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. So what he's basically telling them is, hey, when I'm there, you're doing well, and you will bend over backwards for me. When I'm not around, it's a different story. And you know how people can get like that when they're trying to portray themselves to be a certain way. And so when you're around certain people, you will act a certain way. But then when that person is not around anymore, the real you comes out. Because if, you know, if you're perpetrating, then the act that you're putting on, you don't put it on as long as that person's around. But then when they're no longer around, you turn back into yourself. And they say, hey, you guys, you know that you've been converted from servant, been changed from servant to the child of the Most High. And when I'm around, you're acting real spiritual. You're doing real spiritual things. But then when I'm not around, you, it's like you convert back to your beggarly element, back into your old self. And it says, now have I become your enemy for telling you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing. Good to be zealous in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So he's saying that through his ministry, he's trying to teach them how to become Christ-like, and that he's trying to deliver them as he would a baby. He's prevailing in labor, and his labor is the teaching of the doctrine, the explanation of, you know, the scripture, giving them what the Most High is, what the expectation of the Most High is, trying to form Christ in them, help them to form Christ within themselves. So he equates it to travailing and labor. Okay. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. When I, you know, it's like you're being double-minded. And, you know, what you showed me, when I was there, you accepted me and you accepted the gospel. And if you could have, you would have given me your eye. But when I'm not there, I'm getting reports that you are converting back to what you were instead of growing in becoming the child of the Most High. And I'm laboring through these letters and through the people that I'm sending to you and through the teaching to teach you how to become Christ-like. But I got some doubts about you. You that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaiden and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But of the free woman was by promise. So the bond woman, this is where I was taking us earlier. Hagar represents the bond woman. She represents the Jerusalem on the earth. Sarah, the free woman, represents the new Jerusalem in heaven, the seat of promise, which things are an allegory, an example. For these are the two covenants, one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Agar, which is Hagar. And this Agar, or Hagar, in Mount Sinai, in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which is now it, and is in bondage with her children. So Hagar represents the earthly Jerusalem and the saint and the sin that was, you know, the bloodshed, the fornication, the adultery, the gayness, all of it. The Most High never wanted that in the earthly Jerusalem, but she was taken in bondage by us, really, by our forefathers. The children that came out of her were sinful children. They were of the flesh. They operated by the flesh. Everything that was carnal, they were into, and their imaginations were always at the better of them. Okay, so he makes an allegory of Hagar and the children of the earthly Jerusalem being in bond, the bond servant, and representing the flesh. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Wait a minute, I skipped up. For Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou, barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath made more children than she which has a husband. No, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So the saying that our mother is the new Jerusalem from above. But the new, just like the earthly Jerusalem is a city, so is the city, the new Jerusalem in heaven. It's a city. The citizens of that city are considered the children of that city. When we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, then our mother becomes the new Jerusalem from above, from the seat of promise, and not from the earthly Jerusalem, which is represents bond. But as then he that was born of the flesh, after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so is it now. Now, the reason that the Most High told Abraham to kick Hagar out, and he didn't want to, but Sarah said, hey, she's got to go. Even though I gave her to you to have children, her son, Ishmael, was about 13 at that time. He sort of persecuted Isaac. And Sarah saw it. And she realized that Ishmael could hurt Isaac, could actually kill him so that he wouldn't inherit the promise. So she told Abraham that they both had to go. That is an equivalent of Messiah being in the flesh. And when he came in the flesh, his brethren, our forefathers, persecuted him. Nevertheless, What says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So the Most High has to change our nature. We have to learn how to become the sons of the children of promise so that we can teach our children to be the children of promise. We have to understand the nature of the relationship. We have to learn how to walk in our quote-unquote sonship with its authority and its power, its freedom from sin. As I say, if you understand that you are a child of the Most High Elohim and he has made you so by his spirit, and you cannot relent to sin. You cannot relent to the lust of the flesh. I'm not saying that you can't be married and have children and those types of things, but you can't let this flesh rule you. You can't let it be the thing that consumes you because that's what keeps you in bondage. Caring about satisfying this flesh. Caring about satisfying your mind and what you think that you want to be and what you want to accomplish. Truth of the matter is, as I said before, and with the next generation, we have to teach them that they already have an occupation. Your occupation is priesthood. You are born into it. So that they have an expectation. And when it comes time for them to seek out the Most High, it can be whatever age, but depending upon their maturity, that he will fill them with his spirit. Because they will have a heart for him, a mind for him. They won't be the children of disobedience. Completely different mindset. So we were born of the bondservant. At first, we were in the flesh. But when the Most High begets us by his spirit, then we are born again of the free one, the new Jerusalem. I hope we can understand. And this is what Paul is trying to convey to us. So as far as us converting and becoming as little children really means to accept who you are in the Most High and step into it. I am a child of the Most High Elohim. What does that mean? I walk like my daddy. I talk like my daddy. I do like my daddy. I believe I have the power that he is giving me the power just like he has the power. So a lot of the things we can't do because of unbelief. And it's hard to transmit that to the next generation if you don't know it and believe it of yourself. This is who we are. And what does that actually mean? You got to know it and be living it to be able to transmit to your children, to your grandchildren, to their children, children if we're alive. So it has to first start with us if we're going to do it. But then, as I said, as we develop these, I want to call them modules, or the next generation training manuals. This is how you should train up your child. This is the understanding that you should be giving them. We shouldn't be asking them, what do you want to be when you grow up? It should be automatically understood by you and I. You are called to be a priest, a king and a priest. And this is how we have to raise you, with that understanding and that expectation. Can't raise you to be the servant. Even though when you're young, you're going to be taking orders like a servant. But when you get a certain age, you become Lord over all. See, we're not understanding who we are, is what I'm getting at. And we have the mind of the bondservant. And the bondservant's reality is a slave mentality, the servant's mentality. And as long as you keep that bondservant mentality, that slave mentality, you cannot become heir to the promise. Because the bondservant's son shall not be heir with the son of the seed of promise, the woman of promise. I pray this is making sense. You used to be in a slave. You used to be in bondage. You used to serving the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Most I said, that's not of me, and that's not of my children. And as long as we keep that mentality, then we are the seed of Hagar. We can't inherit the promise because we can't even handle the promise. We have to have a change of mentality. It is not a light thing to say that I'm the son, I'm a child of the Most High Elohim. We say this stuff today with we take this stuff today. And we say it with not really fully understanding what it means. It's like being poor, and then all of a sudden you have millions of dollars. You've never had that kind of money. Yeah, you never had that kind of money. And so, having not had that kind of money, you don't know how to be a millionaire. Somebody has to teach you how to handle your money. They have to teach you how money works. You know, a lot of people become rich, and then they lose their riches. Why? Because they were never really taught how to be that way. Big eyes. Let me go buy up everything. Don't know how to properly budget. Don't know how to properly invest. Don't know how to be a good steward of money. And the classic example of those are like, our people who make it big in singing or movies or anything, athletes. They count on them not knowing how to handle their money so that in the end, all the money that they made for somebody else. And they themselves end up back poor because that's the mentality, that bondage, that poor mentality. But a person that is born into money, they're taught how to handle money. They're taught how to think about it. They're taught how to make money work for itself. And now you have to work for the money, but you make the money work for you. It's a different mentality. The same way with becoming a child of the Most High. There's a mentality that comes with it. And so we were the servant. And we had a mind, we have the mindset of the servant, especially coming out of slavery, wanting to try to get all those things that we thought were denied to us. Oh, we need to have these big houses. We need to have these expensive cars. We need to have whatever that the world says. And we chase after those things. And we are a nation of consumers because we have this bond woman mentality. But the Most High wants us to convert. Realize who you are. And understand that now you have to be trained up in that way. And we don't act like that. If you're my child, we don't act that way. I don't have to go around boasting about my power because I am power. I don't have to boast about it. I don't have to boast about my riches. I don't have to boast about any of those things. So he wants us to get his name. He wants us, you know what? You got everything that you need. All I want you to do is care about other people. Care about those that are in worse shape than you are. Think about it. Most of us say, there is nothing that you have that I need. And my concern is caring about you. And making sure that you are brought up in a proper way. That you might emulate me since I'm making you my child. So I don't want you worrying about all this other stuff because all that stuff is taken care of. We don't worry about those things. Rich people don't worry about their next meal. Rich people don't worry about insurance. They don't worry about that stuff. Why? Because they know it's going to be taken care of. It's already taken care of. We can concentrate on how do we make more wealth or how do we teach our children to maintain what we've got. Generational wealth. It's a whole different mentality. And this is what the Most High, and that's an analogy, this is what the Most High wants us to do with ourselves concerning him. Come out of that slave bondage mentality and come into the mentality that I am the promised seed and live like that. Teach it to our children that they come with that mentality. Now, we'll open back up your mind. We come, I want to say, it's harder for us because we did come up as the servant. And it's hard to switch into this mentality of the free person. You know what? I could also equate this to white privilege. Okay? And while white people think different than we did, and if you're white on the line, you know what I'm saying, you'll know that is true. Okay? White people don't think about if they go in a store, somebody's going to follow them around the store like they would follow a black person. They take certain things for granted just because of their being white, and they call it white privilege. But it's a mentality. The Most High wants us to have his mentality. And so us coming out of this slavery and trying to take on the nature of the Most High when we have the bondwoman's mentality, don't you know as long as we keep that mentality, Galatians chapter 4, verse 30 applies to us. Nevertheless, saith the scripture, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. If you're the son of the free woman, the child of the free woman, but you still got the mentality of the bondwoman, then you will never be able to be who the Most High has called you to be. And this is that conversion. This is that believing that what he says is true. He's giving us the tool, but we walk in unbelief. Our faith has not increased to that level. I pray we can hear what he's saying so that when we're dealing with the next generation, we have to put this mentality in them. This is who you are. This is what you're called to. This is what you're being trained for. We let our children grow up and decide what they're going to be. Oh, you got choices. You could be this. You could be that. That is out of the will of the Most High. How can you be called to this, and it's a full-time job, but we're trying to be everything else in the world but what the Most High calls us? So if we are converted, then we have to know what we have to teach the next generation. You are a priest. You are a priest of the Most High. There's some things you cannot do. There's some places you cannot go. I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care what your schoolmates are doing. You can't do it. We don't set those expectations. So they go out there and they run wild. And, you know, the ones that want to be wild is going to be 100%? No, because that nature, that human nature, is just train up a child in the way that they ought to go. And when they get old, they shall return to it. You got to first let them know. We'll train them all. You are kings. We were kings and queens. And we were teaching that stuff and saying that stuff with no foundation for it. We couldn't tell our children where they were a king or a queen of, where their forefathers were a king or a queen of. We don't know, couldn't be truthfully, couldn't say whether we were slaves in Africa, got sold as slaves into this country. We were just making up stuff. But the Most High is telling us this is who you are. And we want to be actors. We want to be athletes. We want to be bankers. We want to be IT personnel. We want to be all these things except for what he has called us to be. A holy nation, a nation of kings and priests to the world. I pray that you guys come back tonight because the message that the Most High showed me and gave me yesterday, which I so hate that I wasn't able to give, the promises that he has for us as his children, as the nation of Israel, and not just the nation of Israel by the flesh, but all those people that become Israel. If you understood that he did this from the creation of the world, that he divided up the world and the population of the world according to the children of Israel, because we represent, how do I say this? We have authority over and represent a certain amount of people. So just as he used the Levites in a one-for-one exchange for their Hebrew brothers, he did the same thing from the beginning with the entire nation of Israel. He split it up by the 12 tribes, the whole world. You got to understand what his plan is, what he wants for us to do. And we have to step into it. He says, this is what our forefathers, where they lacked in faith at. So once I tell you, if you can't do it, then we're just our forefathers all over again. Just passing from generation to generation. And that's why he's only going to take a remnant of us. Because we won't step into it. We won't believe what it is that he's saying that he's already done and just step into it. We want to save the children of the bondwoman. I pray we can hear this. And will we allow our faith, will we step into and believe what he is saying? Because he said that's the problem with our forefathers. They just would not believe. So I pray we can come back this evening because it is. So monster in what we are giving up, even in this world. We're trying to be, you know, if we were where we're supposed to be, and we were acting like the children of promise, and we believed the Most High, and we stepped into what He has already said, the world would already be paying tithes to us as a people, the world, and not to the Catholic Church. Because the Catholic Church saw it, hijacked it. They also stole our heritage and made sure that we stayed the children of the bondmen. But this is a mentality. And you can't say, oh, I'm a child of the Most High, acting all evil and wicked. It don't go together. It doesn't go together. And if it's hard for us, then we have to make sure that we are putting the things in place, that we see the vision, we see what the Most High wants, and that we are putting this in the next generation. And maybe they will do better than we do. But we have to understand how we become those children. Understand that we depend upon everything we depend upon our Heavenly Father for. Everything that we do is to the completion of what pleases Him, what He desires in the earth. So we don't even teach our own children because we don't, I guess it's hard for us to understand this or to grasp it and to hold on to it because we probably didn't teach our own children. We didn't have an occupation that our children followed us into. Like you see families and all the families, they're doctors, or they're associated with the medical industry. And you'll see this amongst the other nations, but you won't really see it amongst us. We don't teach our children to, this is our occupation. So I am a doctor, then you're going to become a doctor. We don't really teach that to them. We don't put that expectation into them. And the expectation that we are supposed to be putting into them, we are the priest of the Most High Elohim. So you're going to be a priest of the Most High Elohim. You are born into it. This is the expectation. Instead, we make them go to school. Go get an education. Try to get you a good job. Figure out what it is going to make you happy. That is backwards. And it is not the will of the Most High. If you are a king and you're born into royalty, you don't teach your child, you don't train them up to be the servant. You train them up to be royalty. You're going to be a prince. And when you get old enough, we're going to put you over these lands. And you're going to rule over those lands. And you report to the king. Oh, and due to all this, you're in line to be the king. So we got to also train you all up, because something could happen to this one, but you got to train you up to be a king. Can we hear a difference there? And we just let them grow up and be whatever, you know, you figure it out, what's going to make you happy. The Most High has only made it to where we can prosper in one thing, as a people. As He selected us for, as He called us to be His priesthood. And as I called you to be my priesthood, you're not going to have to worry about these things of the world. I'm going to make the world, the riches of the world, at least 10% of them come to you. 10% of the wealth of the world. If that belongs to me, I give it to you. So if America has trillions of dollars, then you have 10% of trillions from just that one country. But we are not in place. We are not doing what we're supposed to do. So how rich do you think the Catholic Church is, really? Because they have hijacked it. This is your inheritance. This is what you're supposed to be raising your children to. Called of the Most High. And so we have to get that mentality. We have to have that understanding. Can't train a child to do something that you yourself don't know how to do. Can't train them to be a way if you're not being that way. So we got work to do, a lot of work, and as many as the Most High should call. For us, we're not going to make it. We're not going to become heirs. We're going to be considered the children of Havoc, the children of bondage, because we can't come out of that mentality. You got to come to verse, let's go back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 31. You got to come to this mentality. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We have to get that mentality. Whom Christ has made free, they are what? Free indeed. But we still got this bondage mentality. Don't know who we are. Don't know how to walk in it. Because we don't fully commit to it. A little bit here, a little bit there. No, you have to step into it. Understand, this is who I am. So that you can pass that on. And some of us will never get there. This is a fact. But whosoever will, let them hear what the Spirit says. So as our children, the next generation, we have to put this mentality in there. And you act this way because this is who you are. You don't behave that way because this is who you are. So I got a lot of words about what you are. This is who you are. That has to be passed to the next generation. We have to teach our young women. You are royalty. You don't just sleep around. You don't just sleep with anything or anybody. Our young men, you are royalty. You don't just sleep around. And if we have our own women not sleeping around and we're teaching them not to sleep with other nations, you don't go out into the world to find a wife. You don't go out into the world to find a husband. But your husband and your wife should come from Israel, from the people of the Most High, from true Israel. They're are walking in the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. They are living in his way. So we don't treat our women that way, and our women, you don't go around doing this. Men, you don't go around trying to make them do this. completely different mentality. Right now, neither one of us, neither gender really has respect of the other gender, has respect for the other gender. Because everybody's running around doing what's right in their own eyes with no standard but the one that they make up for themselves. This is what I think is right at this time in my life. This is what I think is right. And no common standard when the Most High is supposed to be our standard. His way is supposed to be our standard. That we're all on the same sheet of music. Instead of you doing because you're doing what you feel is right for you. And to what end? Well, I'm just doing the best that I can. To what end? I'm just trying to, you know, have something in life. I was trying to be happy when the truth of the matter is your occupation, you should already know. How it works, you should have been taught. What your responsibilities are in it should already been given to you. And we should be living it. And if that means that you are helped, then that's help. If that means that you are put in a position of authority, that's what that means. So independent, so disconnected that we are really of no good one to another. As a people, as family, because we don't have the right instruction in us. We don't have the right mentality in us. We have the mentality of the bondservant. Tell me what to do. The Most High says, I've already told you what to do. You're free. You have been made free from sin and from its bondage. Now step into your role that you are born into, your heritage. You're trying to hang on to the world and be good little saints when we should have committed, and me myself, me as well. You know, I'm not, can't point fingers at nobody else. Didn't take on what the Most High has called us to with everything and understand that he was going to make sure that we were provided for. If we just stepped into it. So part of our getting well is putting this mentality, changing this mentality and converting our children. We have to be converted. I'm no longer the child of the bondwoman. That's what people don't understand, being born again. I've been born again. The Most High has changed my status. That old person died or was supposed to have died when you got baptized. Before you got baptized, you were supposed to die to self, to that old self. But see, we're not teaching people what they're dying to. Oh, you're just not going to be a sinner no more. We don't even teach them how to not be a sinner. We don't even teach them what real sin is. So there's no conversion. There's no changing into what they're supposed to be. There's no understanding of who you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to become and how to become. We're just making statements like we did when we thought we were kings and queens, but we didn't know kings and queens of what. Just saying it. Nothing to back it up, and saying we are the children of the Most High Elohim, not really understanding what that means, and nothing to back it up, and not even becoming. So we have to be converted. as little children, learning as a child how to be free, how to walk in that and teach it to the next generation, or else they're going to be in bondage to this world just like we were. They're going to be out trying to find happiness in the world when their happiness is doing what the Most High called them to do, what he called us to do, what he chose us to do. So we have to put this in place. And we have to, you know, have the foundation. This is who we are. We have to believe that and step into it. This is how royalty acts. This is how the priesthood acts. You are a king and a priest. So you need to understand how royalty acts, and you need to understand how a priest acts, a priest of the Most High. Because you're not a priest of Satan. You're not a priest of whatever other deity or entity with power out there that people worship. You are a priest of the Most High Elohim. And you have to act accordingly. You have to be according. So these are the things that we lack. You have to put it down on paper, make it a standard, as per the scriptures, and then put these things into our people and into our children. Any questions? Comments, complaints, your phones are open. I'm wondering.
I'm enjoying this lesson because you're right. We gotta start with our kids now.
Amen.
And let them know now. I mean, I don't have kids per se. But, yeah, we need to start with them now. Because I was introduced to the Father at an early age. So, yeah, catch them now. If you got any grandkids, any children that's like before 12, catch them now. Catch them now.
Amen.
Good lesson, brother.
Amen, my sister. Anyone else?
Very good lesson. Very edifying. Very informational.
All right, amen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I did. I said amen.
Yeah, I have little grandchildren, and I've already started installing certain things in them, but now I know that to just go full force with it, you know. Every time they're around me, I have to be the light. I have to be the educationer when it comes to the Lord. To the Most High.
Amen, my sister. We have to, you know, as grandparents, I know most of us are, we don't really have I think we only had a couple of really young people listening to us. But these things have to be transmitted into them, and we have to understand that our past lives, people will look at us, and they might see the old person. And so they may not be as receptive to us from the very start. We have not all walked the same path. And so it's not going to be easy.
That's the case. It's our own fault for not doing it sooner, you know?
Yeah, I would be a little bit more compassionate with it because we didn't all start at the same time, and we didn't all come out of the same backgrounds. So, like Sister Mary said, she was exposed early. But everybody's not exposed early, and especially everybody's not exposed to truth early.
Correct.
You know, so if I knew what I knew today, I would have surely raised my children way different.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely. And I would have chosen a different partner to have them with.
Right. you know, my children would not even have had a choice as to mm-hmm. what they were going to try to be. This is your first calling. This is what you're born into. This is what who we are as a family. Been different because, as you know, when you can put it in them at mm-hmm. the younger the better, then it becomes part of their core value. And they might look at the world and desire the world. Hold on just a second. I'll be right back.
Amen, brother. Good lesson.
Hello.
Shalom.
Shalom. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Always good.
Always, girl. I got
always.
The farm. I tell people all the time, it's
you
good
know
to know Jesus.
Good
to know. And you know what, Niecy? We can't really
what?
Beat ourselves up because of what we didn't know because nobody taught us. But as
right.
we learn, we
and that's what I was just, that's what I was going to just ask Brother Miles, okay? It's like I'm fighting a losing battle. I'm trying to teach my granddaughter what's right, but her mother and father is doing the opposite. So, you know, it's like, how do you win there?
The father always wins. Just don't teach.
Right.
The father
going,
always
doing.
Wins. No. Keep
yeah.
teaching them.
You keep doing what you're doing.
That's right.
But don't ever let them see you get angry. Don't ever let them see you get mad or use you as an excuse to not be that way. Because,
yeah.
you know, if the parents are teaching against it, then they are... The children will see. They see more than what you think they see.
Huh.
And so you just have to be consistent.
Yeah, okay.
That's all you have to do is just be consistent. All right.
Amen.
Okay.
You know, and don't even fight with your children concerning. But, you
know,
if you got, so, yeah, just you teach them because they're going to get input from what, everywhere, right?
Right.
Whether it's the TV,
huh?
whether it's in school.
Yeah.
And from you. And so as long as you drop that seed and your own children, you know, it may not be being watered at home with them. But the truth of the matter is, sooner or later, the Most High will unction them to come. And what you have dropped on them and in them will still be there.
Amen.
Okay.
So you may not see it right away, but the truth of the matter is, it's going to be Grandma always said this. So just be consistent and love them.
Amen.
And understand that, you know, even your children, we'll pray for them. We need to pray for all our children because the world has a stronghold on our children.
Amen.
And they might, you know, the tendency is to fight against it because they want to be like the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, the truth of the matter is, and let's just be real, our children see us in different ways than the world will see us. Because when you're in your house, you might say certain things and do certain things that you may not say in the world. You might say them to your children, but you got to understand, that's what I say, you got to understand that even with your children, you're raising your brother and your sister in Christ. And so they might look at us and say, oh, you're hypocritical. So they may see you not at your best.
Right.
They see all the cracks because ain't nobody perfect.
Mm-hmm.
and then they'll want to use those cracks to judge you. How are you going to say this? But I saw this. Whether it was a momentary lapse or whether it is, so that's the way we were really being. And so when we get converted, people will still see the same old house, but they don't realize that there's a different occupant. So this is who we know you as. So a lot of times it's harder to convert our own children.
Yeah.
That's just being real.
Mm-hmm.
Still have to do it because they'll understand in time that, you know what, that used to be you, but it's not you now. And that even goes with a lot of our friends. When we have a change, when we are converted and we change, the friends that we used to do dirt with, they don't want to see the change. They just want to see the same old person. Remember when we used to go do this and we used to go do that? Our children see us the same way. So we have to understand that that's part of the battle. But if, you know, if we were converted when we first came into this thing and we have been consistent, then they won't have that testimony. If we were running, if we were going to church and then running the streets at the same time, well, what kind of message do you think we really sent to our children?
Yeah.
Think about that. Because a lot of us were in church and still out partying and doing everything else. And then, you know, when we are truly converted to the Most High, then we want people to see us that way. That they may see us the way that they remember us. So just understand that it's part of the process, and that don't mean that we can't, that we stop and we don't do it. And even if they don't want to hear it, we still got to make them hear it. Hold on a minute, please.
Amelia, you want the meat? See ya.
All right. So, yeah.
What are you over there eating, Denise?
You over there eating, Denise?
No, I'm not. I was trying to fix the baby something to eat. I ate already. He's just getting up.
Amen. 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 All right. So, yeah, you know, no matter what your children are saying, you know what you need to put into the grandchildren. We know what we need to put into our children. You know, one of the things that we have to do it out of love. And so, you know, you tell them and, you know, still encourage your children that they need to come to the Most High. He's real. But, you know, you don't beat them up with it. Because, you know, the word of Yah works two ways. It will either draw or push away. It will either draw or push away. So we have to be even careful. Like, you know, I sit my children down. They're grown. But then, you know, I would sit them down and have a conversation with them in a conversation way, you know, type of way, and see where they're at. And say, well, you know, you ought to consider these things as well. And I know that you think that you can find what you want in the world, but these are the things that you're going to find. And every time that they, you know, go out and they experience something, they come back and say, you were right. And understand that we made our mistakes, right? They're going to make theirs as well. But the younger that we can catch them at, the more likely that they will return back to the Most High. And there's going to be those that just take to it. That's what they want to be. But I think that we have to set the expectation while they're young. Baby, did you know that you're a king and a priest? And this is who you are, and this is what you're born into from the time that they're very young. But we ourselves have to be consistent. We can't be saying one thing and doing another. And you can do 1,000 things good, and all you got to do is do one thing bad. That's what people remember. I don't care whether it's on the job, or whether it's in the household. If you are in customer service, I don't care how many customers you serve well, serve one, provide that service to one, and see if that don't get told faster than all the good you did. It's human nature. But as long as we are consistent, then over time, we will affect change. Over time. And the more people that start to do it, the more people we will affect, that will be affected by. So that being said, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you this morning. Father, truly desiring to be converted. To be converted from the mentality of the bond servant to the mentality of the free person. Father, we need to know who we are in you. We need to accept that we are your children, that we must behave and conduct ourselves accordingly. We step into it. Father, give us what we need to this end, that we step into the role of being your children. Acting the way that your children, that you would have the children to act in all aspects of our lives. Help us to transmit this to the next generation. Even if it appears they don't want to hear it right now. Give us the strength to be consistent and to be steady. Let us be that example, that example. And no matter what people may say, Father, let us walk in this truth, even when we are rebuffed, even when people say you ain't whatever, we know the words they use. Let us understand that this is who we are, and this you are who we represent.
Okay.
And we will not let them tell us differently. Help us to be strong in you, Father. Change our hearts and our minds. Let us believe, for it's out of what we believe that we will act upon. Let us believe that this is who we are. Send such as we need, that we might represent you, Father, whether it be healing, whatever we need. Thou know it. You know it, Father. You can look at each and every person's heart. Help us. We ask with sincerity of heart, help us to be like you, Father, and to take on your mentality. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Hold on a minute. Father, even right now, I want to lift up our children and their children. And if their children have children, and we got four generations, their children as well, Father. Save as such as should be saved, Father. Unction them to come to you. Draw them even now. Whatever they may be into, Father, let them see that if it's not of you, that they ought not to be doing. And let them run towards you. Father, heal their minds, heal their bodies to be your children. Will they be thy inheritance? In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
On this evening, and as I said, I'm going to do faith part twos. I pray that you all are able to make it. I understand it's the 4th of July. Y'all might be wanting to be out there shooting fireworks or whatever. But I pray that we make it to this, because this particular precept concerning our faith, just like our conversion as children, our faith in what the Most High has called us to. He says, Israel did not obtain unto the righteousness that they were supposed to because they lacked faith. They did not step into what the Most High was calling them to. And so we want to see this thing. I want to show you the big picture and bring it down to the finer working. But we need to see the big picture first to understand that this is the Most High's plan. This is what he has told us he would do, that he's going to do. And that we ought to be working towards the completion of this vision, not fighting against it, but working toward it. So I pray that I see you guys this evening. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you. But your Heavenly Father God loves you even more. Shalom.
Bye. Bye.
Shalom.
Bye. Bye.
Shalom.
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 Fill with the rock and
one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishmaka, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you? Live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo,
yeah.